Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Kisavo. We have five Divrei Torah. Before getting into the Divrei Torah, just a quick overview of the Parsha. It starts out with the mitzvah of the Bikurim, the first fruits that are brought in the land of Israel, that are grown in the land of Israel. That applies to the Sheva, meaning the seven specific fruits or produce that the land of Israel is praised over. Those are brought to the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Bikurim. Then we have a discussion of the confession of tithes. As those Bikurim are brought up, somebody would say a confession that he has indeed tithed the various produce that he has properly. That is number two. And next we have Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael, you're about to enter into the land of Israel. You need to commit yourself anew to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and commitment to Torah. And then we have the brachos and klalos Moshe Rabbeinu saying, somebody who keeps X, Y, and Z, adheres to the requirements of the Torah, that is a person who will have bracha. On the other hand, Rachman al-Itzlan, somebody who violates, and there's detail as to what violations are being discussed, that will be klala, and it's precursed by arur. Cursed is the person who does X, Y, and Z. And at the end of the parsha, or a good balance of the parsha, is the tochacha, which is really the rebuke, all the iniquities and sins that Klal Yisrael do, what the punishments will be. In the detail of the punishments, unfortunately, we have seen most, if not all of it, throughout history. We are now going to start at the beginning of the Parsha with the discussion of the Bikurim. When somebody brings their first fruits to Bikurim, they make a declaration to the Kohen. So it says as follows, we're now in Dvar Torah number 1, Perek Chafav, Pasukei, Vayered Mitzrayimah, talking about Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, Vayagar Sham, and he lived there, Bimsei Me'at, with few people. They went down few in number. So there's an interesting question here. If we look at the language of this pasuk, it says that Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. He lived there, and they were few in people. It seems to be that this pasuk is out of order. It should have said, Vayered Mitzrayim Abimsei Me'ad. When they went down to Mitzrayim, when they went down to Egypt, they were few in number, and then they lived there because, as we know, they grew great and multiplied in Egypt. So why does it say they went down to Egypt, they lived there, and they were apparently Bimsei Me'at? But it should have said they went out to Egypt, Bimsei Me'at, and they lived there as well. So in fact, the Rebbe from Gur, one of the great Hasidic Rebbe's, he brings a Yerushalmi that discusses that one of the Talmidei Chachamim, one of the Chachamim, he went into a Beis Knesset. They showed him a beautiful shul outside of Israel. It was beautiful. It was detailed in its architecture. And he said about it, Vayishkach Yisrael Oseyu Vayven Heichalos. He actually was not so happy about it. He said that Klal Yisrael, Vayishkach Yisrael Oseyu, they have forgotten Hashem and they built these great palaces. What's this talking about? It's talking about in Chutz Laaretz that we should not be building these extremely large, palatial, decorated buildings. That is not how we should be living in Chutz Laaretz, but rather we should live a life of tzniyus. We should live a life of modesty, keep a low profile. So he was not so impressed or happy with their having built this, even though it was a shul and it should be beautiful, but it also has to be tzanu, it has to be built with modesty as well. And the Admor Migur says that's actually what this pasuk is telling us, Vayered Mitzrayma Vayagar Sham, and they lived there. They went out to Egypt. They lived there. Bimsei Me'at. This is the drasha. Is that Yaakov Avinu and the Jews? They lived a life of tznius. They lived a life of modesty. They didn't go overboard. They didn't spend extravagantly. They wanted to keep a low profile as well. And that's especially how we should live, especially in Chutz Laaretz, that it shouldn't be extravagant and audacious in front of the non-Jews. It should really be a low pride profile, so we don't raise their ire. So that's why it's referring to how they lived in Egypt. Vayeri Mitzray Vayagar Shav. How did they live in Egypt? Bimsei Me'at. They lived not extravagantly, they lived in a modest way. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. It's the very next pasuk, and it says as follows, and continuing the declaration that is made when somebody brings his Bikurim, Vayiru Osanu HaMitzrim. The Mitzrim caused us ra. They caused us bad, they mistreated us, they afflicted us. So that is Vayiru Osanu HaMitzrim. Now, it's interesting to note that it doesn't say that they caused ra lanu to us, but osanu is really like in us. So the question is, why didn't it say they caused bad to us, but they caused it internally, it became us. So what it's saying is that the pashtus is that the mitzrim, they had such a negative influence through their bad actions that it negatively impacted Klali. So it's not only saying that they did bad to us, they mistreated us, but because they were so bad, it rubbed off on us, and we ourselves became bad as well. So that's why it says they did ra'osanu. Osanu is... it became us, that became part and parcel of us. It's not only that they mistreated us, but we were okay. We ourselves were not okay. We lived in a decadent society, and the decadence influences us. And we see that always. Chazal tell us, Roi l'rash, roi l'shchena, woe to a rush, to an evil person, woe to the neighbors of that poor person, because unfortunately, things rub off when you're around the evil, and that's what happened in Egypt as well. And continuing Dvar Torah number 3, continuing the end of the declaration, it says, V'chasamachta, what we should do, is V'chasamachta b'chol ha'tov asher nasan l'cha Hashem. And we have the fruits, and we're talking about the first fruits that we had, and the declarations, etc. And the Torah tells us that should have simcha with all the good, habechol atov, asher nasan lecha, all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. So when it comes to somebody receiving a gift, for example, somebody receives a gift from the dignitary or from the king himself, the president sends you a gift. Even more significant, much more significant than the gift itself, is who sent the gift to you. I received something from the president. He deemed me significant enough to send me this gift. That's a big cover. That's a big gift. That's a big honor to receive something from the melech, from the king, from the president, and the like. So even more important than the gift itself is the fact of the gift. That's what they say. It's the thought that counts. It's the person who gives it to you. That's what really counts. That's what the Tiferet Shlomo, he applies that concept to our very pasuk, and it says as follows in our pasuk v'samachta, where, by the way, I don't think I said it, we're in Perek Chavav, pasuk Yud Aleph, and it says v'samachta b'chol atov, you should enjoy the good, absolutely, but more important than that, not only because the gift that we receive from Kadosh Baruch Hu is good, but the more fundamentally and more significant, Asher Nasan Lecha Hashem Elokecha, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. So the gift is good, we should have simcha from the gift, but we should have even more simcha from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us. And that indeed is indeed what we should think about all the time. All the gish that we say, the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me kol tzor ki, everything that I need, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us good, and he's given us food, and so many things to be appreciative of. We should be very appreciative of the food and the items themselves and the relationships and the family, but even more so, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us so many wonderful things. I heard a story, I don't remember the details right now, but from Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, he was talking about somebody that he knew that was not well at all. And the person's wife told him, you should be davening for yourself. And the chola, the person who was sick, says, I can't do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me so much. He's given me so many positive things. I can't ask for anything. He's given me a lovely wife and a lovely family and given me whatever I need. How can I ask for anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that someone relates, that's the Tov. He's given us so much Tov. And to build on it even more is what this pasuk is saying, the Tiferet Shlomo is saying, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us. That's even more significant. We're now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Vav. And now we're talking about the brachas and klalos, people who indeed don't adhere to the Torah, various violations, they will be cursed. That's Arur. And here in this pasuk, it says, Arur Asher lo yakim es divrei ha-Torah. So this is like a global one. Cursed be somebody who doesn't keep the Torah, la sososam, in order to do the Torah. So the Akedas Yitzchak, we're going to actually give two, three explanations of what's going on here. So the Akedas Yitzchak says as follows, that there are people that they are not mekayim the mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do, but they do it for ulterior motives. They do it because they're going to reap benefits from it. For example, they want people to think highly of them so they'll have faith in them. So they'll give them money to manage their money, or in order to receive kibudim, in order to be honored. So they're not doing it out of true reasons, altruistic reasons, reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, keep the Torah, do the mitzvahs. That should ultimately be the reasons why we do the mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it, we do it, but rather they do it asher lo yakim. This is the pasuk, asher lo yakim lasosos. And what's the explanation of that? It says the Akedas Yitzchak, sheinenu mekayim es mitzvah mishum tzarech lekayem. They're not doing the mitzvahs because they need to. They're not doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but rather they're doing it ela mitoch she'ifa la'asig matarosav ha'shvelos. But rather he has ulterior motives. So that's what it is, asher lo yakim lasosasam. He's not doing it for the right reasons. He's doing it lasosasam. He's still doing it, but for the wrong reasons. And that is included in Aror. That is not praiseworthy. That's the opposite. That is curseworthy, because he's having ulterior motives. He wants access to money, access to kibbutzim, whatever it may be. That's not the reason lasosasam to do the mitzvahs. Explanation number two, brought by the Ksav Sofer. He says that originally, when the Reform movement, the originators, the founders, they started to jettison some halachas and some hanhagas, some practices, some of the tefillah, and ultimately their motivation was not terrible. They were of the view that we have to make things easier. We have to make it easier on the people in our generation, because it's just too burdensome, the Torah, the requirements, the davening, etc. And if we get rid of some, they'll be able to focus on the other side. They'll be able to focus on the much more dumbed down version of Judaism. So that was their ultimate motive back then, the Reform movement. And the Ksav Sofer says, in fact, that this pasuk is saying that is arur, that is curseworthy, because it says arur asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah zos. What does that mean? Curseworthy is somebody who doesn't keep the Torah. Arur kol mi sheomer ki ein sorech lakayim es kol haTorah kula. Curseworthy, cursed is somebody who says you don't have to keep the entire Torah, but rather let's get rid of some of it. And even if their intention is lasososam, even if their intention is so you can be mekayim the other part of it, that is curseworthy. That's somebody who should be cursed. So let's read the pasuk again. Asher lo yakim arur, asher lo yakim et divrei haTorah zos. Curseworthy is somebody, cursed is somebody who says you don't have to do the entire Torah, and even if their intention is lasososam, even if their intention is for people to focus on the other part of the Torah, saying that you don't have to be mekayim the entire Torah is a curseworthy concept. And now we're moving to number three. This is also the Ksav Sofer. What is this concept? What is this curse? Aru asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos lasososam. That is talking about mi sheomer ki mitzvos haTorah ein tzorech lekayimam davka lemaisa. This is talking about somebody who says that you don't actually have to do the mitzvahs. You can simply understand the beliefs of the mitzvahs, the understandings of the mitzvahs. As long as you can relate to the mitzvahs, you feel the mitzvahs. I'm looking at the underlying concept of the mitzvahs. I feel Jewish. I feel I have Jewish identity, and that's all the concepts of the mitzvahs. That is not correct. Here it says in the Torah, Aura curses is somebody who doesn't lasososam. You don't fulfill the whole Torah, you have to do them. Doing the mitzvahs is what's required. And somebody who simply says, but I feel the concept of the mitzvahs, I believe in the concept of the mitzvahs, it's just about bringing out our philosophies, but not that you actually have to do them, says the Ksav Sofer, indeed that is arur, that is worthy of curse. And last for our Torah, number five, we are moving to end off on a positive point with the brachas. Baruch atah ba'ir, there are various brachas of people who are mekayim the Torah and mekayim various mitzvahs and the like. We are now in Perek Chavches, Pasuk Gimel, and the Medrash says something interesting. It says, Baruch atah ba'ir, b'eseh b'yu, if you keep it in the city, ba'ir, b'schar ha-mitzvah sh'ata osa b'ir. This is somebody who will have bracha, is the schar of mitzvahs, somebody who does mitzvahs in the ear. So what's going on here? There are some people indeed, explains the Divrei Shari Chaim, that they want to keep a low profile in their asiyas and mitzvahs. They're embarrassed. They just want to do mitzvahs in private, but in public, the yarmulke comes off, the mitzvahs comes off. They don't want to be viewed as living in the Middle Ages, as they don't want to be viewed as differently. This really comes up a lot in the workplace, that people think we don't want to be different, we don't want to stick out, just want to look like everyone else. And indeed, that is not the proper thing. It says in the pasuk, Baruch atah b'ir, blessed be you in the city. What does that mean? That person who is not embarrassed to be mekayim the mitzvahs, and you do it in public, in the city, in front of everyone seeing you, that is something that is praiseworthy. Somebody who's embarrassed over being Jewish and they don't want to do the mitzvahs in public, they don't want to show their identity in public, that's a curse-worthy thing. We have nothing to be embarrassed about. In contrast, we have everything to be proud about, to be mekayim the mitzvahs. And in fact, that is the very first halach in Shulchan Aruch, Or HaChaim, lo yispayesh b'ibnei hamal gligim alav. We shouldn't be embarrassed in front of those people who make fun of us. Indeed, that is what this pasuk is saying. Baruch atah b'ir, blessed be you in the city. Not only are we mekayim the mitzvahs at home, but in the city, outside, it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's something to be proud about, and nothing that we indeed should be running from. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.